Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, thank you for joining us this week. We're on every week on 107.1, the talk station, at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Sunday morning, and 8 p.m. Sunday evening. And then also we're available on the cctaxpayers.com website after it's broadcast. Now I'm going to go to Mary. I'm Bob Griswold, and going to Mary.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Most of the news right now, of course, is what's going on in Israel as the IDF begins to dismantle the command center that Hamas had put in and under a hospital. And I did see on the news today there were pictures of the IDF bringing in hospital supplies to help the patients in the hospital and to try to stabilize the areas that they had cordoned off that they felt were not Hamas areas. The message that the publicity people for the IDF, or the spokesman for the IDF is putting out is we are here after Hamas. We are not here after the civilians in Gaza. Now, unfortunately, the line between Hamas and the civilians of Gaza is fuzzy at best, but at least they are trying to do what they can to protect civilians. They did find a place underground where they felt the hostages had been held for a while. And it was announced this week, or I heard it this week, you all may have heard it before, that there is a three-year-old American among the hostages. That was reported Sunday way at the bottom of a White House press release. That shouldn't be. We should have taken drastic action by now.
Are the parents of the child also hostages?
I don't know. I don't know that.
Yeah, it's odd that it didn't say just the three-year-old.
And so that's been taking up most of the air in the room in terms of the news. But we have a lot of other stuff going on,
Mary,
that
if
we can
I might,
talk about.
The Israelis hit another hospital. Al-Shifa. And Hamas says that the death toll inside that hospital has risen to 27 adult intensive care patients and 7 babies since the weekend, as the facility suffered fuel shortages. IDF had taken fuel to one of the hospitals and left it on the doorstep, and Hamas forbid the hospital people to use it.
That's true.
This business about 27 adult intensive care. Could you pick any more sympathetic victims than intensive care and babies?
Also, one of the...
I don't believe it.
One of the pictures that has been shown of this bombed hospital is actually a building in Syria that was hit a couple of years ago.
One of the statements from Hamas also is they have denied that there were any weapons within the hospitals. So...
Well, if they're in a tunnel underneath the hospital, it's a...
And we have pictures of that. The IDF has posted pictures of that. But one of the things to remember is one of the first casualties of war is truth. And I have a couple of good sources of information. I regard the IDF as a reliable source because they're afraid to lie. They know they're going to get creamed in the international press if they say anything that's even the slightest bit not totally true. And I have someone else that I follow who's over there.
Well,
and
it's a little disturbing to me to see that the position that the Biden administration is taking, which in a lot of these kinds of situations, I suppose, is to be expected. But like the attacks on our bases from these rocket attacks, we've had 45 or 50 attacks minimum. Yeah. And we've had a couple of, they started responding, but nothing enough to stop it. The response is purely
for show.
Figurative or for show, and it's not having the desired effect. So what that's telling Iran is you don't have to be fearful of the United States. You know, in this attack by Hamas, we actually had 20 Americans that were killed at the beginning. And there were, 17, 20 hostages?
A number taken
and so
hostage.
On, so on. And we should be siding with Israel against Hamas, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And then this call that you hear from the administration about a pausing and having a ceasefire and so on.
And how much money are we going to send to Iran now?
And here's the way I feel about the people in Palestine. They voted Hamas in, mm-hmm. okay? They knew who these people were. They were terrorists. And now for them to be complaining, I hate the idea of innocent people being killed, but it's unavoidable.
Define
and
who's innocent.
If you are supporting a group of people that you know are going to conduct this kind of operation, you shouldn't be surprised. It's like Japan. They attacked us in Pearl Harbor, and then we nuked them. So, I mean, it's a terrible thing, but it's just the reality of what you have to deal with.
And what do you do with a generation of people who's been told from the time they were babies that their goal is to kill Israelis and become martyrs? How do you reprogram them?
Well, all that started with the rewriting of history, and you can go back 12 years ago and look at the current generation of early college students who hate their country and are at these colleges who are now protesting against Israel. And these, because the history that these children have been indoctrinated with is not actual history. It is history from the view of the progressive socialist. And if you raise the children to hate their country, why are they surprised when you have a homegrown terrorist? And that's exactly what those students in Palestinian will be. They will be the homegrown terrorist because they will be raised
to hate Israel.
Exactly.
Now, much of this learning on their part is again rote memory. Now they should remember the times table instead, but the rote memory of here's all the atrocities that we have done or whatever else. They don't even understand the history of the founding of the country. Now we're not a perfect country, but we're well ahead of the second best.
Well, a caution should be, and a caution I want to make, is how easily that could be here.
Yes. And I watched an interview of a number of Palestinian children, which was totally scary. And at one point, one of the children said, the Jews are lying to us. They say their temple is under the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Well, excavations have shown that their temple is under the Al-Aqsa Mosque. But these kids, again, they're not even Palestinians. They're Arabs, they're Jordanians, they're Egyptians. There never was a country of Palestine except what the Romans called Israel to insult the Jews. So that's a whole nother story. But again, when you teach hate to three-year-olds, how do you deal with them when they grow up? I don't know. I don't know how you solve that.
I was listening to Dan Bongino yesterday, and he was talking about the Palestinians. They claim to be refugees, okay, but they've tripled in number. And so all of this chanting about Palestinian genocide, Bongino's point was, if that's genocide, you're really bad at it.
Well, there's the other part, too. We do need to free Gaza. We need to free Gaza from Hamas. We need to free Palestine, if there is such an entity, from Hamas. And I don't know if that's possible. I don't. The two have become so ingrained. The, quote, Palestinians, unquote, tried to overthrow the government of Jordan when they were given refuge there. The Egyptians don't want them.
Saudi Arabia doesn't want them.
They've made their own bed, and I don't know what you do now. I still think we need to find some island in the middle of nowhere and give them enough technology so they have food and medical supplies, but they can't get off the island and let them just die out on their own accord.
Now, that's not nice.
I'd like to bring it back to this notion of indoctrination of the children, and we're talking about what's been happening over in the Middle East with indoctrinating people, but it's happening in this country. This past Thursday, there was a presentation made to the Craven County Board of Education recommending through four resolutions that these topics be removed, the following topics be removed from our schools right here. And these topics are all Marxist related. They're intended to divide the people. And that's the Marxist strategy. You divide the country into factions, and that's how you destroy the country. One of the topics has to do with what's usually called critical race theory. The other one has to do with equity and inclusion, diversity, equity, inclusion issue, transgenderism, and climate change. And all four of those topics are going to be were presented to the board, and now we'll see what the Board of Education does. They've been given a challenge that these things are destructive, they shouldn't be taught in the public schools, and now we'll see. We'll see if they take action on it.
That should be an interesting presentation.
Now, I know it was because we're broadcasting this show on Saturday, the actual presentations will have happened.
On Thursday.
On Thursday night, Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday. We're at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, 11 o'clock on Sunday, and 8 o'clock Sunday night.
Except when there's a Panthers game on
Sunday
night.
Well, that gets complicated.
You got to have your priorities straight here.
Absolutely.
Did you see what happened in that Bills game?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
They had 12 people on the field, so he got another chance
yes,
of kicking
and he got it.
It
through.
I'm like, oh, man.
Now, also to understand the cost of that, apparently one of the sports bettors lost $2 million on that one play.
Yeah, well, they tell you don't bet more than you afford to lose.
Don't I know it.
Folks, we're gonna stop and take a break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, thank you.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying with us. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Pat, you want to add something?
I wanted to talk about what's going on in Trump's two legal proceedings. First of all, the one in New York about his property. I wonder how many people know that he's already lost the trial. When Letitia James filed her complaint, she filed a pretrial motion for summary judgment. Summary judgment is allowed when there is no material question about the facts of the case. So let me ask you this. If she says Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million and a group of real estate professionals say it's worth $348 million, is there a material difference in those two facts such that the judge should hear evidence and then rule one way or the other?
But I think this judge said he didn't want to hear from Trump, right?
Well, that was after the pretrial motion, okay? So when he got the pretrial motion, he immediately granted it. So what we're seeing now is not a trial; it's an argument about the valuation of his properties, because not only had the judge already granted the summary judgment, but he had already appointed receivers to put Trump's properties into receivership in order to break them apart and sell them off. And Trump got a stay because the grounds of the stay was you can't undo it. Once you tear him apart and tear apart his empire and basically beggar him, you can't undo it. So here's what's going on now. When Letitia James, so the judge grants the summary judgment, then they go into the liability phase. Her attorneys did was put Trump and his two sons and his daughter on there and got them to admit, one, you signed all the valuations and you're required to know what's in them. One of his sons said, I rely on the accountants and the lawyers that we pay millions of dollars to. I don't really know what's in there. And there's a disclaimer on there. The judge tried to block Trump from producing his disclaimer that says, by the way, do your own due diligence. This is what we say it's worth. Judge didn't want to hear that. But at any rate, first we had her attorneys trying to get them to admit that they had falsified the value of the properties, which, of course, they didn't admit. Then they rested their case. Now it's Trump's turn, and he's got four expert witnesses that are going to testify that the values of the properties are different than what the Letitia James, the attorney general, has posed. It puts Trump in the court in kind of a weird position, because if she's asking for $250 million in damages plus strip his business licenses, and he's never allowed to do business in New York again.
When he never hurt anybody in these transactions.
Banks got their money. There was no victim in this.
Yeah.
So what's the damages?
She had one witness on the stand. She put Michael Cohen on the stand, if you recall.
He's credible.
The fixer. He admitted on cross-examination that Trump never told him to overvalue those properties.
Oh, you silly girl, it was implied.
Nope, he admitted. Nope, he never told me to do that.
He said, well, he didn't really say it, but I knew what he meant. Yeah. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And they had one other witness who was a banker who testified that because of the way Trump had valued his properties, that the state lost $168 million in value that they could have taxed. Because in order to bring a civil case, you have to be wronged. The difference between a civil and a criminal case is in a criminal case, you're being prosecuted by the state to take your freedom. In a civil case, the person who's suing has to be harmed, and they're asking for money damages. Okay? So Letitia James, I don't know how she claims they're harmed when there's no victim in the case. So the whole thing is in a weird posture. But the fact that the judge granted the summary judgment, and now they're actually arguing over the valuation of the properties. Trump has to do that to keep the testimony on the record, because when the case goes up to appeal, I don't know if people know this, but appeals court do not hear new evidence. They only look at what's in the record. So Trump, the judge looked like he was going to keep Trump from bringing his four witnesses, but now he's relented on that, so we're going to hear from his four witnesses. So Trump's trying to say all my stuff was valued higher than what she said. She put it at low, so if she's asking for damages based on her low valuation and Trump's trying to up the valuation, it seems to me that that might up what the judge claims as damages. But then if the judge says that, then he's admitting that his summary judgment was wrongly entered.
Dear.
And a higher value, which he's being blamed for, would generate more tax
revenue.
So it's opposite. It's not like he cost them money by overvaluing it. It didn't cost the money of the government, right?
Well, she had an expert witness, a banker, who claimed that he cost them $168 million that they could have otherwise taxed.
Well, so at a lower value of the property?
I do not know.
But no. But I would say, like when we sold or bought the house in Massachusetts, or even down here, when you make a sale on a house, we had to put tax stamps on the value of that sale. So if Trump says it's worth so many millions or whatever else different from what they and the property sold, then the state should have gotten those extra tax stamps.
But
he didn't sell it.
Yeah.
It's mine. It's worth this. And it's still mine.
Well, so the whole case is built on air.
Yes.
But not just that. Anything is only valued at what somebody else is willing to pay for it.
Exactly.
And that can change.
Exactly.
Daily, monthly, yearly.
In fact, Trump is claiming Mar-a-Lago is worth $1 billion, maybe $1.5 billion. It's not worth $18 million. And he says, I can get a better deal for it, because he's a salesman. So he could sell his property for higher than what she got somebody to say it was worth. Who's to say he's wrong? So summary judgment was not correct in this. And then we find out how weird the judge is. Have you seen the pictures?
Oh, yes, that's a whole other
thing. Picture of the judge in his little paper. And then his wife was tweeting anti-Trump things during the trial. She had a picture of Trump in prison and so forth. So the whole thing is just one screwed up mess. And it doesn't reflect well on our judicial system.
So this is not your unbiased American legal system where you are judged by a jury of your peers. Now, the first thing that I would say, is there a jury involved in this at all?
Once the judge grants a summary judgment, you get no jury.
Uh-huh. So Trump had no right as a citizen to require a jury?
No.
Well, there's another aspect to that, too. Regardless of how you feel about it, where would you find a jury of Trump's peers?
In New York. that were willing to say during voir dire, yes, I can be unbiased in this matter.
In New York?
I haven't heard about it. Right. Well, where? In any state in the union.
It's not like he's an unknown figure. And he's someone who people react to strongly one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
What's distressing, I think, about this whole process, not only in New York, but the other cases, the three other cases that he's facing, is the fact that justice is supposed to be like that statue, blind, okay? It's the opposite. They shop around for certain prosecutors, certain judges, and you can pretty well determine the outcome by knowing who the judge and the prosecutor is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so third world banana republic, and now going after somebody who is running for office and being these prosecutions coming out of the DOJ, it's really disturbing. And I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, one of the elements that's really coming to the fore is how these prosecutors use an individual or defendant's attorneys against them. For example, I thought there was an attorney-client privilege.
There's supposed to
be. That when you as a client go to your attorney, that what you tell that attorney is supposed to be sacrosanct and not supposed to be used against you. It's supposed to be private and everything else. But what they're doing now, especially down in Atlanta, like this woman, Sidney Powell, who was one of Trump's attorneys.
No, she never represented him.
Well,
she wasn't one of his attorneys.
She was representing the issue about the voter fraud and the fact that there was that she was involved in that.
But she didn't have a client attorney relationship with Trump, so anything they said to each other wouldn't have been protected
by
that.
But they're going after his attorneys, and what they're trying to do is separate them out. And what they do is they charge the attorney with these whatever cases. And the problem is it's so expensive to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're innocent, you may not be able to afford your own defense without it destroying you economically. So then you put these, it's kind of like blackmail. If you don't give us the testimony we want against your client, then we're going to prosecute you and we're going to bankrupt you and we're going to destroy you financially. So how much confidence should we have in whatever those attorneys say? It's like these racketeers. And down in Georgia, they're using a racketeering.
RICO.
Racketeering statute, which basically, again, gives the prosecutor all kinds of power over the witnesses.
I know that we're running out of time on this segment.
We've got a half a minute. Go for it.
When we get back, I would like to just ask around the table, what impact do you think this whole thing is having on Americans who are actually paying attention to it? And are Americans paying attention to it? And how, if you're an average American and you hold the wrong political view, is this evidently going to come home to bite you at some point in the future? I want to talk about that aspect of it.
Well, we're going to leave that as a teaser, and yes, it is going to bite us, and this is the CCTA wake-up call. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back, folks. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to go right back to Pat. Thank you, Pat.
Okay. During the break, there were still some questions about what a summary judgment is. A summary judgment is in response to a motion filed by one of the parties that says there is no difference in the two cases. There are no facts about which reasonable people could argue. Therefore, you should rule in my favor. So let's say Letitia James says the earth revolves around the sun. And Trump said, no, it doesn't. The sun revolves around the earth. Okay. There is no factual thing there about which reasonable people could disagree about. So naturally, the judge would rule that the earth revolves around the sun in the case.
And the sun comes up in the east in the morning. Yes.
They ask a couple of NFL quarterbacks that, you know, Goff for the Detroit Lions, he didn't know. And the guy sitting next to him said, they said, from what direction does the sun come up? And he said, from the air. It's in the air. At any rate, so when she said all of his properties are worth XYZ, the judge took her word for it. There was no argument from allowed from Trump on, no, they're not, they're worth, you know, ABC. There is a reasonable difference to argue about there. The judge shouldn't have granted a summary judgment. He should have allowed the trial to go forward. Trump would have been entitled to a jury trial. A certain number of people have to agree to find him liable, not guilty. Guilty's in a criminal trial. So that's what a summary judgment does.
So in a sense, the judge short-circuited Trump's rights.
Yes, he did.
And wow.
Now, can I jump forward into it? And I'm going down a rabbit hole. But again, is this the situation where a prosecutor, okay, I guess Letitia James or whatever, where she is an employee of the government, and the judge is an employee of the government, that they know better than the people that they're employed by? In other words, we put people into these offices. I mean, whether it's an elected office or whether it's a government, a local government, they are our servants, supposedly. But here, they want to be our masters. And again, that's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's semantics. She's the attorney general. She was elected. She has a lot of discretion in her job, and the attorney general can bring civil cases.
But still,
prosecutor brings criminal cases.
But still, being elected, she should serve the people.
She thinks she's serving the people. She claims she's serving the people.
She ran for office based on going after Trump. I think this is not a legal battle. I think it's a personality battle, and we don't like you, so you're guilty of whatever we say you are, and we're going to destroy you because you went against our progressive agenda when you were the president, and we can't risk having you be president again, so we've got to do everything we can to keep you from having a viable opportunity of being the president again.
Well, I think that's perfectly obvious to anybody. It's got two brain cells to rub together.
It shows to me that the entire judicial system has gotten overly powerful, and they are taking away our rights. The fact that one judge could grant summary judgment, to me, summary judgment should only be allowed if both sides agree to go down that road, okay? Not just one side. That's the first thing. The second thing is, on a lot of the cases that are affecting us that go to the state Supreme Courts and some of these courts of appeal, they're frequently decided by one judge. It's like when they had Obamacare. It went up to the Supreme Court. Who decided that Obamacare was constitutional?
John Roberts.
One vote. It didn't matter what the legislature said. It didn't matter what the Congress said. That is not what the Founding Fathers had in mind. The Founding Fathers said the power in the government is from the people. The people is the legislature, not the judiciary. And we're increasingly being governed by an oligarchy of people in robes, and you know they have up in the Supreme Court, 5-4. You can tell how it's going to be decided by who gets elected, who's on that, who's appointed, and that's not justice.
And that's
so
not only
I think,
it.
I think what we ought to do is we ought to have a process where decisions like the voter ID issue that came up in North Carolina. It was voted by 67% of the people on a referendum. Who stopped it? One judge. There were other, accomplices. But basically, one judge on the state Supreme Court. There should be a process in place where the legislature can override the court when they make a decision of that type. That's not a decision on a criminal case. It's a decision on a policy matter. And, until we get it back in the legislature, we can override a governor's veto, but we can't override a veto by the judiciary. And that's a serious flaw in our system.
Well, part of the problem is that the judiciary was never supposed to be making laws. And they have, unfortunately, undertaken that. Our laws now are not made by Congress. They're made by regulatory agencies that are not elected, and they are also being essentially made by judges who approve this.
Right.
And the public-private partnerships,
yes,
are expanding that role. And a big example of that we've just been through would be the COVID and the pharmaceutical issues with, since when does a pharmacy company dictate policy of the country?
And the irony of that, we've all heard all the stories about some of the problems with the vaccine. Oddly enough, Pfizer has just come out with a new drug to help out with heart problems.
Caused by the vaccine.
I just read an article today about a Yale study about that exact thing.
Yeah.
That's a vertical integration business model.
Okay.
By the way, Pat, we've gone really far astray.
But I want to go back to, if I'm sitting at home watching TV, and maybe I'm watching the mainstream media, and I see all these attacks on Trump, how does this affect me? Do I decide he's got to be guilty of something because they keep charging him with stuff? Or do I decide that they're really going after this guy? Maybe I need to pay attention. How do I react?
It's a difficult issue. When you're in a criminal case and you're doing voir dire, you're picking a jury, you ask the jury, usually it's the judge, ask the jury, are you willing to believe that this man is innocent until the state proves he's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt? And he's sitting there in an orange jumpsuit wearing shackles. We called it jewelry. And everybody in the jury pool says, yes, I am. And they're thinking, well, he must have done something where he wouldn't be sitting there in an orange jumpsuit. And then they're asked, are you willing to understand that not everything a police officer says is true? And they all say, oh, we understand. We're going to take everybody's testimony and weigh it all, fairly. So that's part of the citizen's responsibility, is to try to take that seriously. Yes, I am unwilling to vote guilty until the state proves their case beyond a reasonable doubt. Whether or not they believe he's innocent is really not the issue. The issue is, has the state proven their case?
Well, yes, you sat on a jury in Massachusetts.
I sat on a jury in Massachusetts where I know I would have convicted the guy, and they let him off, and because I became the alternate. But that's the way it is. Pat, I know there's a third one that we've talked about a few times called nullification, okay? And in the case where somebody brings a criminal suit against someone, and yes, that person did that, did what that law says, but that shouldn't apply here, because we've seen, right now we're seeing things where they're charging, sedition or what or whatever else, they're charging these archaic laws when they don't apply here. Maybe you took a specific action, but that didn't apply in this case. Is that, as a jurist, I think I'm allowed to say, no, that I realize they did whatever you said, but didn't apply.
Well, there is such a thing as jury nullification. It's where the state proves their case beyond a reasonable doubt, and the jury all votes against the state and says, let him go. And it's usually because they think the law is stupid, and it shouldn't be enforced against him. So, yeah, there's jury nullification.
Well, yeah. As an individual, to answer Mary's question, it makes me extremely fearful. I think if they can do this kind of stuff to a president, an ex-president, a billionaire, a guy that's got a substantial amount of power, what could they do to little old me?
And he has the money to fight it.
And I do not have the money to fight it, but I find that I, a lot of times, will try to filter what I'm saying, which is very difficult. well, you know, I have the right to remain silent, just not the ability. But I just have a really hard time sometimes when I feel very strongly about something because I don't want to, quote, get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Glenn Average out there thinks about this, to be honest with you. I don't think
it doesn't register.
Right. Let's think about how many people are active in their government systems, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think that percentage versus the total population. Most people are disconnected, and most people aren't worried about somebody doing the same to them. I just don't believe the majority of the people even have it on their radar.
But that's why I am fearful, is because we are involved and we make ourselves targets because we are out in the public eye. So I think you're right with Joe Average, but those of us that try to get involved are the targets.
I know, but she was asking about Glenn Average.
Glenn Average.
Glenn Average.
Again, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think E70 Palm. They built on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up, Bob, on what we've been talking about, the reaction of the general, public about what's going on with Trump. The polls show that every time he gets indicted, his approval goes up. His fundraising goes up. Now, that doesn't necessarily reflect everybody, but they're obviously, if this country and the voters in this country are not smart enough to realize that this is a political hit job, one after these four different trials for these spurious reasons by these individuals that have just been anti-Trump all their lives and their careers, if the population is not able to see through that, the country's lost because it's so patently obvious. And it's never happened before. This is unprecedented that any ex-president, somebody running for office, would be attacked by their opponents in this way. And this is so glaringly obvious to me that if we don't vote, get him reelected, then the destroyers of this country have won. That's the only way to look at it, in my opinion.
I want to totally change the subject because I kind of think we've beat this to death. I want to talk about the fact is, again, we're recording this on Wednesday, and on Tuesday there was a rally in Washington, a pro-Israel rally. Nothing was destroyed. Nothing was defaced. And based on what I know about conservative rallies, they probably cleaned up after themselves after they were done. But that's not the aspect I want to talk about. There was a group of people in Detroit that wanted to go to this rally, and they had chartered buses and they had chartered planes. And the bus company drivers found out that the buses were chartered to take these people to this rally. So they all called in sick so the people could not get to the rally. Now we're talking Detroit, which is a Muslim stronghold in America, complete with no-go zones. And I hope, I don't know, I hope there is a major lawsuit to follow against the bus company because they certainly deserve it. And the people were able, I mean, the story that I got, because it's up at Right Wing Granny, the story that I got was out of the New York Post. And the good news was that the people that were planning on going were able to follow, they had a connection at the rally, and they were able to follow the events of the rally and listen to it. And, you know, they weren't there, they wanted to be there, they felt like it was going to be a historic moment. But at least they got to follow it and see what was going on. But I believe the bus company should be sued out of business.
Was it the bus company or the individual drivers? If the drivers were told to call in sick, it's a little bit different than the bus company. But
the drivers, I think, worked together as a group to call in sick. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think the company created the problem, but by the same token, I think the company ought to be held liable.
Well, the bus company could fire the drivers.
That would be a start.
But I don't know that the bus company should be liable for the behavior of its drivers unless they encouraged it.
Well, if they didn't fulfill the contract that was signed with them, that is...
contract law.
Yeah, so doesn't matter the whys behind it, but... Now, you can figure out what that means. But
the drivers are agents of the company.
Right. So the company's responsible to get that done.
The bigger issue for me has to do with the fact that if you look at a lot of these anti-Israel demonstrations, and they show videos of them, a lot of those people that are demonstrating are Muslims. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're wearing hijabs. And so on and so forth. Okay, I'm not saying it's only Muslims, but a big percentage of them are. And it gets back to this issue of whether our country can survive if we continue to bring in millions of people who don't share our values and are never going to share our values. And that's what I see as reflecting. And I suspect if you looked at these bus drivers, you would find a percentage of those... Mm-hmm. that were probably of that persuasion, and so they decide to do what they want to do, and they want to be anti Jews, anti-Jewish, and that's how they act. And our society, and we have got to do what President Eisenhower did in the 1950s. President Eisenhower took the military and deported over 1 million illegals back out of this country. We need to do the same thing with these illegals that came up with, and I don't care what it cost financially, and I don't care, but we need some strong leaders who will do that, because our country can't survive with all these divergent ideas and these divergent values and principles. They don't believe what we believe. Look at the Democratic Party. They're mostly socialists. Now they're all turned out to be Bernie Sanders or worse. And the country can't survive like that.
Alan, that's a great segue into one thing that caught my ire this week. Was there was a motion made by Marjorie Taylor Greene to impeach Mayorkas.
Mm-hmm.
And two North Carolina representatives voted to table the motion to impeach Mayorkas, who is allowing the disaster at the southern border. And I would like everybody just to get a pencil out and write down their phone numbers and give them a nice little phone call telling them how unhappy we are with that. And the representatives involved is Patrick McHenry, and his phone number is 202-225-2576. And the other one was Representative Virginia Fox. Her phone number is 202-225-2071. And I would just like our callers, the people, to call them and ask them why they voted to table impeaching Mayorkas, who is doing so much damage to the security of our country.
Kim, can I ask you to repeat those two phone numbers,
yes,
please?
Patrick McHenry is 202-225-2576, and Virginia Fox is 202-225-2071.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the pro-Palestine protests for a minute, because they're being funded. Have you looked at their signs? Those are professional signs. I'm sorry, I'm a child of the 60s. We had to make our own signs. Nobody paid for us. We had to do it ourselves. And if you didn't get the letters right, that was okay. You still carried your sign. But these are being funded. These protests are being very well funded. And I don't know that this is the case with this particular protest, but I can tell you, when we lived in Massachusetts, we lived very close to Providence, Rhode Island. And there were ads in the Providence Journal, which was the Providence newspaper, for paid protesters for $15 an hour.
How'd they still do that?
You can't believe everything you see.
Rent-a-mob.
What?
It's called rent-a-mob.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, I mean, the grassroots in some cases is AstroTurf. I mean, let's get real here. This is, unfortunately, a lot of our college students have been miseducated, and they are out protesting. But somebody is providing their signs, and somebody may be paying them. I don't know that they are.
Well, I read an article today. There's a millionaire and his American wife living in China.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold his tech company for $687 million, and he's sending money to a PACT, which is funding a lot of these Palestinian protests.
Yeah, there's money behind it. And again, the Chinese do not wish us well.
Speaking of Chinese.
Oh, yes.
We have this wonderful meeting going on in San Francisco with our president and President Xi. And I just wonder if he showed up to give Joe his paycheck.
Well, when you look at the motorcade, there's not an American flag in sight.
Not even on the president's car?
I think there might be on the president's car. But the whole parade route, I watched the videos of it this morning. There was not an American flag.
But also understand, this is what it took to clean up the streets of San Francisco.
Shame on Newsom. Yeah. Shame on Newsom.
And as I understand it, they found the need to put up a wall.
A wall?
Yeah, a fence.
But walls are racist.
To protect Xi. So from the us dirty Americans.
So if there's money to clean it up for this visit by a Chinese president, but there's no money to protect the citizens from the same trash?
Well, where did they put, my question would be, where did they put all the homeless people?
Well, probably in the $1 million night hotel. On the taxpayer dime.
Taxpayer dime, okay.
And okay. Then the sad part about it, the whole conference of what Biden's going to talk about, of all the issues going on between us and China, drugs coming over the southern border, flying spy balloons over us, confronting these ships in the South China Sea, all this stuff going on, backing Iran. And what does Biden want to talk about? Climate change. And this is so out in left field, it's unbelievable.
It's predictable, though.
Predictable and predictably stupid.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to mention.
So predictably stupid, and we just got to figure out what's going on here. And as you said, he's going to talk climate change while the Chinese are building more
coal plants,
coal-fired plants.
That will offset 6 weeks.
Offset anything that we do.
Mary, did you mention John Droz?
That's what I'm after.
Okay.
Tuesday night, November 21st, the CCTA public meeting at Stanley Hall in New Bern, 7 o'clock. John Droz will be speaking about our education system and what is going on in our schools and our colleges. This should be a very interesting program. It's free, open to the public, 7 o'clock, Stanley Hall, downtown New Bern.
There is parking down there. Some of the parking is now paid parking, but there is on-street parking. And folks, if you really need to park, park behind City Hall, because their parking spaces are guaranteed only till 5 p.m.
So we can use them, because we're not starting till 7.
And we want to boycott the paid parking.
Some of us are doing that, yes.
It's a little silent protest.
That's right.
Okay. Folks, again, thank you for joining us on the CCTA Wake Up Call, again on 107.1 on Saturday morning, 6 a.m., Sunday at 11 a.m., Sunday 8 p.m., depending upon the Panthers game. And we just ask you to, again, join us. Thank you.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.